The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that reminds us that Meryl Streep used to actually have to act to get an Oscar nomination.
The movie about a marriage of convenience that ends up in a torrent love affair that, I'm just kidding with you, he cheats on her almost immediately.
The movie where the female lead, against all odds, starts a business in Africa, survives, fights lions, but her greatest accomplishment? Getting invited to a men's only bar.
This is Out of Africa on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia. The podcast is counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And we're talking about the winner of the 1986 Oscar for Best Picture.
Best everything.
Yeah. Best director.
Best cinematography.
Yeah. Screenplay. Adapted screenplay.
Best score.
Yeah.
It is
sound design. Out of Africa.
Yeah, Meryl Streep and Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Romance
that spans the test of yeah. space and time.
It was 1985, right? Right, yeah. Right in the middle. This movie comes out 2 hours and 45 fucking minutes, this movie.
Yeah, it's long.
it's an epic romance. Every time I feel like they make a big, long, epic romance, I feel like they're just trying to do that. You know, like they're just trying to go back to the old school, like Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Because English Patient is the same shit.
Oh, for sure.
Like 3 hours long. Yeah.
That's why I never watched all of English Patient.
And really, you could cut out a lot of the fucking filler romance shit in it and still have the meat of the fucking story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is no different. But in 1985, this movie brought in $87,100,000. Movie shot in Africa, like 70% of it in Africa.
Yeah.
$31 million budget.
That's impressive.
That's crazy cheap.
Especially considering how beautiful it looks, how like many aerial shots they have, how much like they obviously had to go a lot of different places, shoot a lot of different locations. They have wild animals.
They have a shitload of extras.
The whole like fucking African tribe and like.
Yeah, and then when she gets there, like the train station, it's just the train station of African.
Then the full party that she goes to for her wedding, tons of people.
Yeah, and then they build like a house for the movie.
There may have been a house there, I suppose.
They build like a set. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really nice house. I mean, she's wealthy, so.
Shit is dirt cheap in Africa, I'm assuming.
I guess, yeah.
But yeah, so it was supposed to be a romance.
Yeah, so it's based on a real person.
Yeah.
And she had.
Not really a romance, I felt. I felt it's really about like her thriving in like this country that doesn't necessarily.
Absolutely.
Not good to her.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even that the country. She has to go through a lot of hardships.
Yeah. Actually, it's the British people that are the worst to her.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Sons of bitches.
Yeah. And just, I mean, things that are kind of like the fire, which is later in the movie, much later in the movie.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of a weird bad luck, act of nature, act of God kind of thing.
Yeah.
She goes through a lot of trials and turmoils, for sure. And she comes out all the stronger for it, I would say.
And falls in love with the dude in that.
Yeah, falls in love with an awesome dude.
Yeah. Robert Redford plays the awesome dude in that.
Plays the awesome dude.
And first she shows up because she meets this guy.
So first of all, for the first like 20 minutes, I'm sitting there watching it with a friend and we're trying to figure out where is she supposed to be from?
Oh, yeah,
where
me
is
too.
Anything supposed to be happening? Oh, yeah, so we could mention that for the audience. This is the first time me and Francisco have not watched the movie together.
Yeah, we always sit down and watch the movie together and then talk about it and shit and then get together and do the podcast immediately after. This is the first time that does. You watched it yesterday. I watched it earlier today.
Yep.
Yeah, separately. Weird.
Yeah, I know. I missed you, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I had a lot of funny shit to say.
I missed our quips.
Yeah. And I had to just hold on to them.
Hold on.
Hope that I do not remember any of them. Yeah, no. None of them. All of them are gone.
No, we have no short-term memory. That's the alcohol.
Yeah, it's long gone.
Long gone. So, it turns out she's Dutch.
Yeah.
And she had been, so she is from a wealthy family, but she wants nobility.
Yeah.
She wants a title.
It's because that old school.
This is pre-World War I.
Yeah.
So money gets you so far, but it doesn't give you everywhere.
And you have to have nobility. You have to have a fucking last name.
You have to have the title. Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's certain places that they just don't care unless you are the bluest of blue bloods.
Yeah. So she meets a guy who is the opposite of that. He is poor.
Yeah.
But he has nobility. A title. He's nobility.
So she had been fucking his brother.
Yeah.
Turns around, the guy's brother had just dumped her, basically, straight out. Was like, I'm busy with other chicks and like, fuck off.
Which is kind of a recurring thing on this.
Yeah, pretty much.
She has a type, I would say.
Yeah. She likes the guys that like to fuck around.
She likes the projects. Yeah. That don't come to fruition. No. They do not.
So then, so she's friends with this other guy, played by Klaus. And I believe his character's name is Broer.
Broer. It's like B-R-O-R or something like that.
And he's a Swiss baron.
So when I saw him, I was like, do you think he is like hidden gay or crazy open gay?
And it turns out,
not either.
Either. He likes to fuck.
Yeah. He just likes to get around.
Yeah.
And you know what he really likes? Fucking money.
Yeah. He likes money.
He likes her money quite a bit.
Look, I know he's kind of a piece of shit, but he likes fucking and he likes money. So yeah.
He makes her all the way through the end of the movie, too. He ends up like rich through the end of the movie,
kind of. Kind of. We'll get to his story.
Yeah. But so then she moves to Africa to marry him.
Right. Because and then, so they have this huge ranch in Africa.
Her parents
has like, it's like 1,000 acres or something.
Yeah.
In Africa.
Buy him all his ranch to raise cattle and the milk. Yeah. Start a dairy
farm.
She shows up and he's like, nope, coffee. We're making coffee. And everybody's like, you shouldn't be making coffee.
Yeah, this is...
What are you guys making coffee for? And he's just like, nah, fuck it. I want to make coffee.
Which, from the very beginning, there's going to be problems in this relationship.
And then there's a point even where she's like, you don't want to work on the coffee thing, do you? And he's like, no, I don't really want to work
it. I just want to go hunting and fuck around. Yeah.
Why did he pick coffee then if he doesn't even want to fucking work it? Like, I don't understand why he picked coffee.
That's really weird. And, and maybe it's based off a real thing because this is obviously real characters.
Yeah, he was somebody sold him.
If I didn't know that this was a real story, I would just assume that that's the screenwriter's way of introducing... Like, this guy doesn't actually care about her.
A shitty guy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He'll just do whatever. He doesn't actually care about her opinion or anything like that.
And that's really what he wants to do is just big game hunt and all that stuff. And we meet Robert Redford carrying 2 giant tusks.
Yeah.
Like, onto a fucking train.
So.
Yeah. Kind of brutal. Robert Redford's kind of... I mean, this is like 1914.
Yeah, you have to... exactly.
So 1913 Kenya.
Yeah, you have to keep in mind, I guess, the difference in time because... Yeah, that's not cool.
No.
Clearly, Robert Redford was over there slaughtering elephants for their ivory. Yeah.
There's a part where he's just
super
like,
not cool.
We're going to go get some ivory. Like, yeah. He says it that casually.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're talking about killing elephants.
Yeah. Talking about
elephants. Yeah,
that is like illegal now. But, it was 100 years ago.
Elephants are those animals. They're one of the only animals, I think, that are just sad all the fucking time. I don't ever seen fucking elephants walk around or that's the thing about like I
disagree.
Elephants. I love elephants. Actually, there's that picture of an elephant fucking an elephant. Another elephant has got a giant smile on his face.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
But if you ever go to the circus and they do that thing where they climb on each other kind of and they walk around.
No, they're sad.
They're super fucking sad.
I always thought like the elephants in like the Tony Jaa movies, they look pretty happy.
They were about to be eaten. I think elephant.
I think at the beginning of the first Ong Bak when they're in the village and they're just like jumping around the elephants. That elephant looked like it was having a good time.
True.
Yeah,
but they're also like they bury their dead and shit. They have graveyards.
They
and
do.
Stuff.
Yeah, which is kind of sad, I guess, because most other animals just don't give a shit.
Yeah,
yeah. They're like, I don't know, he's dead now, I guess.
Yeah, they do a lot of really like heart wrenching shit, like protect their young.
Dave's dead. Well, yeah. Well, shit. We're going to bury him? Fuck no.
Saddest. And Robert
Redford.
I got
shit to do.
Yeah. You talk to a fucking Marmoset about that shit. He doesn't care.
No, no.
No, they just push him down the fucking river, man.
Wildebeest, they're not going to give a shit. No. Lion's eating their best friend. They're like, shame about Larry. Yeah. Fuck.
Well, let's just move 3 meters over in the other direction.
I mean, I knew when he, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm still going to sit here and drink water. I need water, yeah. So...
I'll just, his flies are going to bother me, so we're going to move a little bit. And then
I'll just wipe my tail, knock some flies away.
Yep. No, not elephants. Elephants fucking are sad.
Yeah, they'll go to fucking graveyards and shit.
I don't like that. Elephants and whales do shit that I'm like, that's too human. I don't like it.
Yeah, that's true.
Be animals. Yeah. I am a human.
Don't
being.
Make me feel emotions towards you.
Yeah. Unless you're making me laugh.
Yeah. I
mean, otters are cool.
Yeah, sure.
They do a lot of little human things with their hands. I feel and shit.
That's why monkeys are okay, because they act human, but in a weird, funny clown way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great. I like the scene in this movie. And they're jumping ahead.
The monkeys with the recording?
He has this great idea that I would do. I feel like we would do, which is.
We would totally do this.
He brings a fucking an old record player. What do they call him?
It's the xylophone.
Sonograph or I don't know what the fuck it's called. But that's the old school like crank.
Yeah, it's the old crank record player. Yeah.
He brings it to show off to her. Like, check it out. Like, I can bring music now and all that stuff. So they decided to just put it out and like play with the monkeys that way. Like,
yeah.
Put it out for the monkeys to fuck it. And of course, the first monkey goes over there and just knocks it. And then he's like, no, get away. And I'm like, well, what did you think?
What did you expect was going to happen? Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
It was funny that they were just like.
They're just fucking around.
Yeah.
But we're getting way ahead of ourselves. So let's rewind a little bit.
All right. So she goes and she marries this guy. Actually, the first thing is she walks into this bar. And then we talked about in the beginning.
Yeah. So right away, you know, there's going to be problems because she gets there. Her train arrives. He's nowhere to be found. No. He sent like a servant dude to come pick her up. And
he's a cool character, by the way.
It is a cool character, actually. Yeah. But so then he takes her to this, it's like they call it the club, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where, and it's obviously this British ran giant hotel.
It's just like British hunters.
Yeah, that hunt. And that's where like Robert Redford, like that's his home base. He has like a room there where he keeps all his shit and whatever. And there's a club, like she wanders into this place and everyone's like, people like stop and like a dude stands up. And at first I thought, cause I didn't know anything about this and I'm thinking about it from the perspective of like 2018 where I'm like, it's either like, holy shit, woman, how you doing?
You know?
Or it's going to be like a thing where it's like just very proper to like stand and offer her a drink or something. Nope. No, they immediately like have one of the servants go over and be like, get the fuck out.
He does a very proper British thing, shitty thing, which is he stands up, looks at her and then calls looks a servant. Like a
servant. Doesn't say anything himself.
He doesn't say anything to her, which is fucking bullshit. He looks over to the servant and he's like,
are you going
to
do something about
whatever
this?
Whatever his name is. Yeah. And then the servant has to go over there and be like, you can't be in here. Like, you can't be in here. She's like, I'm just trying to find a husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they do a very, it's a very proper British bullshit thing to not even address her.
Yeah. So it turns out this place only admits men.
Yeah. Still to this day. Only admits men. Yeah. So that now, from what we read, you can go in there without a suit and a tie, but still only men.
They got the wrong part of that right.
Yeah. Why would they do
that? I'm okay with a dress code. Yeah.
I never understood the men's only club thing. Why am I going to go drink if I can't
flirt with ladies?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I would feel like you don't make a men's only club. Make a strip club.
Yeah, exactly.
You fucking idiots.
Unless it's that almost seems like a thing that, like, it seems instead of men coming up with that, that would be a thing that women would come up with. It'd be like, no, you can only go to men's only bars. I don't want you going to bars with ladies at them. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that would make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, that they're like, nope, no, none of the ladies. I don't want you to go to the single guys.
Yeah, that bars. You're like some 50-year-old British dude and your wife's like, I don't want you fucking like young fucking Dutch.
No, you go to the men's only fucking bar.
Yeah, exactly.
No, in this one, they choose that.
Yeah, it's weird.
Still to this day. Just to feel better than women. 2018. When I'm like, don't feel better, just get strippers in there. I don't know. Make a strip club. I don't
that's how you feel better
thinking.
Than the women.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you have clothes on.
Yeah. Get a fucking strip club going. I don't understand it.
So our next move is we move to Kenya and open a strip club then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's clearly what we're going to do. Perfect. Yeah.
But it's a very specific way of showing you this is not a good country for her. Like, this is not the place for her.
It's the beginning of her, like, being out of place, right? So, because she doesn't, she doesn't know where her husband is. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know that she's not allowed to be there. All this stuff. And then even when she finds her husband, he immediately like puts her in this dress and this hat.
We're gonna get married.
Like rushes her out to get married like immediately.
Yeah.
She's been in the country. She's been in the town, at least. She's been traveling by train.
Yeah, yeah.
She's been in the town for like 5 seconds. And it's like, all right, marriage time.
Yeah.
Like,
she's like, all right. And then after marriage time, he's like, you better change because
we got to go to the house. And it's like 3 hours away.
Yeah. So put on some traveling clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
I guess, according to Emma, again, going back to the Steel Magnolias episode, that is completely proper. You got to have your traveling clothes. Yeah, you got to put on traveling clothes.
The post-wedding traveling clothes.
The post-wedding traveling clothes.
Did not know that. So as dudes, we just wear the same shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're just, I don't know, I got pants on. be happy I got pants on, ladies.
I got
pants
on.
Yeah. That's about all you can hope for me in a public setting.
As soon as we're settled in and we got 3 hours ahead of us, pants are coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's going to be a lot of like trying to have sex.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then when
this point, they're like horse and carriage, right? This is before they get the car.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot of like bounciness.
I mean, I still feel like you would still have trying to have sex.
Yeah.
Especially if you got a servant driving the horses. Come on.
Back then, dude, back then it was all like proper British bullshit.
Yeah.
And not.
Even really. Though neither of them are British. He's Swiss. She's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's Danish.
Danish.
But like,
yeah.
It's British rule. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, Kenya ruled Britain at the time.
Britain ruled Kenya.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah, so they go to the place, and then that's when he tells her, like, we're making coffee. And she's like, fucking bullshit, but let's do it.
Yeah, because at first it's a very realistic argument when it's like, she's not mad that they're doing coffee. She's mad that she wasn't, consulted.
Yeah, it's her parents'
fucking
money.
Exactly, it was her money. And he's like, well, you weren't there and I had to make a decision. It's like, we already made a fucking decision. Like
dairy.
Yeah.
Which in Africa, I feel like cows are much more money.
Yeah. And they all even say, like, at the elevation that they're trying to grow coffee, no one's ever tried that before.
Yeah.
It also takes 4 fucking years for them to start getting crops.
And she's like, what the fuck are we going to do till then?
Yeah. Whereas I feel like dairy cows, much bigger investment up front.
Right away.
Right away, you're milking fucking cows. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And fucking making some meat and shit.
Yeah, exactly. But he immediately leaves.
he takes off, and then it's this whole thing of her like trying to make it through and like really learning her way and shit.
A lot of it is her adjusting to the country.
There's some cool stuff with her and the tribes people.
Yeah.
There's a guy that the leg guy. I like the leg guy quite a bit.
The leg guy's cool. The leg guy is a reoccurring character.
Yeah, he has like this weird leg infection or something like that.
I will say, and I don't know, because again, we didn't watch the movie together. I don't know if you had the same problem, but there are a lot of characters with heavy accents in this movie.
Oh, I had to turn on the fucking subtitles.
Yeah. There was some rough trying. I didn't have the subtitles on, and there were several times where I was like,
what did they say? Yeah. But the guy talked to his leg. That was his whole thing. He's like, it does not go to hospital. And then she's like, no, you have to fix the leg. So she does this thing where she connects right away with the local
tribe.
Yeah. And that pays off later on.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And so she's kind of making it on her own now because her fucking husband has taken off. But guess who's there? Robert Redford. He's out and about. He's just an out and about guy. Him and his very good friend, Barkley.
Barkley, yeah.
He's super cute. Super cute, kind of older guy and stuff like that.
I mean, it's Robert Redford.
Yeah. The most handsome fucking guy you can find in Africa.
I feel like the most handsome guy you can find.
Yeah,
like,
in 1985.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you can start to see in this movie, it's one of the first times where you can start to see him being a little older. Like, especially when they get in close-ups, you can start to see the wrinkles in his face.
Yeah, so he's got that, like, old rugged look and stuff like that.
But he is a super handsome dude.
Dennis George Fitch Hatton.
Yeah, so, and who is sort of a real guy, right?
Yeah, so if you kind of read up on him, this guy was crushing, man. Like, they talk about him because
And they get some, you get some indications because there's a couple of times where she sees him with different ladies.
Yeah, exactly. And he was apparently just crushing all the British women that came by.
Yeah.
And he was like fighting lions and shit. He's pretty fucking badass.
Yeah. He was like a full on, like that was his job, was he was like a hunter, explorer, tour guide.
Which when we were talking about it.
Stickman.
The book. Yeah, Stickman. Fucking woodsman, right? Woodsman.
Exactly.
The book is, there's like, it's based on
three books.
It's based on three books.
If you actually watch the opening credits of this movie, It is based on three books. One,
she wrote a book.
She wrote a book. That's the one that it credits first. But then it also credits two other books about her.
Yeah. And I feel like the book should have been about Robert Redford's character. Because he was out there before and he was just fighting lions.
I mean, that's
shit.
Definitely a movie. Like, you could definitely do a movie that's just about him.
I guess that's like...
And it's called Ghost in the Darkness.
Yeah, that's true.
And that movie is badass.
Or, I mean, if you switch it over to fucking Australia, it's just Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure. Actually, you're absolutely 100% right. Crocodile Dundee is just this movie, but more comedic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first time they meet... Nothing improper happens. It's just...
No, well, he's being really nice and all that shit.
The one of the things that I really love about it is it really reminds you of the time because... So they... He's an adventurer, right? Yeah. And like Barclay's an adventurer. They stop in because literally it's a house within like a week's travel for them.
Yeah, so they get to stop there.
So they get to stop and have a nice dinner.
Yeah,
and
that
then,
story thing.
Exactly. So I love that. Like... You have to remember, there's no TV, there's no radio. Like, all you really had was books or actually communicating with other human beings.
Alcohol.
Or alcohol, right? Yeah. Which they do that, too. They drink throughout the movie. But their evening's entertainment is listening to podcasts in the form of...
Of people talking. Of people's mouths.
Of people's mouths talking. But specifically, like, they give her basically like an almost like an improv game where they give her the first sentence of a story and then she just has to make up a story.
Yeah. And then I really wanted to hear that story, actually.
I mean, they yada yada through
but
the story.
Yeah, it skips ahead through the candle. It's a shot of candle and all that shit.
But that's still a really cool idea. Like, I would almost encourage the next time you have like a fancy dinner party with... Not a huge group, obviously. It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But if you're just having like a couple of people over for a nice dinner party, that's a cool game to play.
No, I feel like it's just going to be everybody in their fucking phones.
Yeah, well, obviously. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, because how...
That's why you take the phones.
How much... Yeah. Back then, you had to fucking do that. Now, like, you don't have to come up with an hour-long story anymore.
No, you just take Facebook and show people cat videos.
Then he leaves her like a fucking laser pointer. I thought it was a laser pointer, but it's a little scroll thing that he leaves
right.
her. Yeah.
He gives her a couple of gifts through the movie. That's the first one.
So, talking about stories... I was eating at the Indian buffet today. Right?
Ah, delicious.
Yeah, great. And then there's this old man, and he comes up to the table, and he's got this little walnut. He's like, "Oh, did you guys go to the gem show?" I was like, "Yeah, no, I haven't gone or anything." And he's like, "Look at this walnut. It's like a little whale thing." And then he's like, "I'm making this toilet that looks like a whale." And he's like, "I was taking a shower, and God like spoke to me." And he's like, "This is what you should do." So he shows me this picture of this fucking whale. And then
okay, so. I'm sorry to interrupt your story, but when you read about or in like the Bible, when God tells people they have a mission, it's usually things like save the human race,
not making a
free
fucking
the
toilet.
Israelites from yeah. yeah. No,
toilet looks like a whale.
Make a toilet that looks like a whale.
So right away, I'm like, this guy's a little crazy. Like, he's a little crazy. And then he goes from 0 to fucking 60 with crazy. So he's just like, "Hey, there's some news coming out." Turns out, and it goes like crazy, like anti-Obama and like fucking Clinton and all that shit.
Sure.
And then he's just like,
turns out Obama was slaughtering babies for the devil.
Yeah, and he's like,
he
I don't know if you know, like
demons.
The rapture's coming, and the sign of the beast and stuff. And he's like, they've brought in the guillotines already. Like, I have a friend.
They're ready.
They've already brought the guillotines already. And he's like,
chemtrails.
You know, they can put chips in you. I know a guy that they put chips in him, and it makes your teeth rot out. And it was just like 0 to 60 on craziness.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy. So what if you did that in your game? Like, what if you start off with a normal story and you just go fucking balls to the wall?
Sure, why not?
Yeah. I feel like that's how you should do it. Maybe upset everybody.
Or even, I do like the idea too that maybe, so you start them off with like a sentence or two sentences, then they have to continue the story, and then like 5 minutes into the story, somebody just throws a fucking curveball at them and they have
true.
To react.
Yeah.
Basically, what I'm saying is people should play D&D.
Yeah. Without all the dice rolling, you could just talk.
You could just, I mean, that's how I play D&D, basically. I just fucking talk.
That's how they do it. In this. Yeah. Back in 1913 Kenya, that's how they do it.
So that's a cool little story, like scene.
Yeah.
And then the husband comes back, and there's a moment where Meryl Streep is she's down.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, "I'm going to make this relationship work. Like, I actually like you."
It's like really just, it's like really one shot.
Well,
one shot of like her laying with him in bed.
But there's even, there's like a shot after that too, where they're like having breakfast or something together. And they're like, she's like doing the little like, new relationshipy things where she's like kissing his hand and like doing all that like little touchy feely stuff.
At this point, though, we all know.
Right.
We all know that Robert Redford's going to be the guy.
Obviously. I mean, yeah. It's Robert Redford.
We all saw Broer.
Yeah. So
he's again, I thought he was a gay guy. Like he's very kind of flamboyant and stuff. And yeah.
So then war breaks out.
And he's immediately like, I'm out.
I gotta get out of this place.
And then he sends for a messenger
For
food. And he's like, hey, we need food because we are doing a lot of partying on this like trek to the fucking war that never actually shows up there. And it's this crazy thing of like the British are super scared that the natives are going to turn on them. So they're like, no, we have to like send like troops, but it's not really troops. It's like guys.
It's just guys. Yeah. It's just like hunters and stuff.
Clearly, they're just fucking hanging out.
Probably.
Yeah. So she decides.
One of the guys that's hanging out, by the way, is Michael Gargal. I don't know how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
But you may better know him as
Alfred.
Fucking Alfred.
Yeah, Alfred from the Tim Burton Batman.
Exactly.
Yeah, love that guy. When I saw him, I was like, holy shit.
I know, me too. Ah, that's funny.
Yeah, there he is. And he was like kind of like talking to everybody and stuff. And then
he's like this really, like everyone else kind of treats him kind of like scum because he's obviously like this alcoholic party guy that doesn't give a shit about anything.
Yeah.
And like doesn't give a shit about like customs and whatever. But immediately him and Meryl Streep's character are like, you're cool.
Yeah. They're connected. It's cool.
Just because he's like a laid back guy that's like, oh, all this fucking, it's all bullshit. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
He also he's on level with the Irish wolfhound dog that is throughout this movie.
That's a very cool dog.
Yeah. He's like her best friend.
I'm glad you looked it up because I was going to say it was an Irish dog, like the Irish wolfhound, but I didn't know for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an Irish wolfhound dog.
Yeah.
It's a cool fucking dog.
It's a really cool dog. He's big. Actually, the funny thing is I was looking up pictures of the actual character, the actual Meryl Streep's character.
Yeah.
And there are pictures of her with that dog.
Oh, get the fuck out, really?
Yeah. Sweet. Legit. So.
Yeah, he's
and she actually character. Does have kind of a Meryl Streep face.
So it was good casting.
It was actually pretty good casting, yeah.
It wasn't, yeah, they didn't bring like Diane Lane into play.
Right.
Well, I mean, this thing had been in fucking development forever.
That's a crazy thing. So many different famous directors and writers and actors had been attached since like the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even like Orson Welles
at one point. Yeah. Pretty insane. Aubrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn. Yeah. So because the book came out in like the 30s.
Yeah.
So from then on, people have been wanting to play this fucking character.
Crazy.
All the way till the 50 years.
Yeah.
50 years of development on this movie.
Till it finally happened. He obviously, he bounces out. And then, like you said, he sends this message that they need supplies. Then becomes, it's like, it's almost a Western for a hot second.
Yeah. She's got a cool, there's a cool thing that she does. She decides to take all the supplies herself.
Right.
Which they said you can't do.
No, you're not supposed to do that. You're just supposed to send some African dudes.
Some of the coolest fucking scenes.
No, it really is. Like, it's... I would say most of the coolest scenes.
Because they're trekking all this cattle through.
Yeah.
And then they get attacked by fucking lions in the middle of the night.
It really is. Like, it reminded me so much of watching old Westerns where you have like a cattle drive and like you got to protect against Indians or mountain lions. Yeah, exactly. Because
there's a
whatever.
Part where like the Bushmen come by and exactly. stuff. And like the music swells and you think it's going to be
they're
a
gonna
thing
attack,
and they just
come
by. Yeah, and then the fucking lions show up.
The lions attack. The lion attack. We need to talk about the lion attack because it's super cool.
It is super cool. They're all fucking... They're all by the fire.
Yes.
And then, bam, fucking lions attack. And so they have cattle.
Yeah, because they got like 12 oxen that are pulling all of this supplies.
Yeah. So the ox get fucking attacked.
Yeah.
So they have to go fight the fucking lions off.
Yes.
So there's a lot of like throwing
so
fire and
shit. So she's looking
at them.
For a gun. She doesn't find her gun, but she finds a whip. And just says, fuck it.
She also looks for her gun in the thorniest of fucking bushes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
she
eventually, I mean, she's looking for it in the wagon, but then
she
just
runs
goes
into
straight
crazy,
through the thorn
thorny
bushes.
Yeah.
And she just starts whipping at this lion, trying to drive him away.
Which the thorny bushes whipping lion scene is why she gets invited to that fucking bar.
I think so, yeah. For sure. And it's also, it's interesting for a couple of reasons. One, the trivia, and again, all trivia is unverified and complete nonsense that we saw on the internet.
Yeah, we just looked it up.
But one of the things was that the lions were supposed to be tethered and were not.
Yeah.
So she was, like, the lion got super close to her and she was legitimately terrified.
Also, Lions brought in from California.
Right. So I guess the Kenyan government had some sort of laws against using lions or something.
Using like wildlife?
Yeah. So they had to like import. They're in Africa. Lions.
Yeah.
They're literally in Africa, the place where lions are from. And they had to bring in lions from California.
Imagine this shit. Like they had to put a lion in a big crate and that's put that insane. Shit on a plane or in a big boat. Because I don't know. Would you put that on a plane? You put a big fucking lion
probably.
In a crate on a plane?
Maybe. I don't know. I guess if you're planning far enough ahead, you could bring it by boat.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
You could feed a fucking... I mean, that'd be cool to feed the lion on the boat.
On the boat? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember Life of Pi, but that whole sequence where all the animals are drowning.
It's one of those things where I always feel like with giant lions or tigers, because we have domesticated cats, you get the impression that you could be their friend. You're like, oh, I'm sure if I feed this lion like three times... We're going to be best friends.
That's why you always hear about these guys that raised a lion from birth.
And then he killed.
And then the fucking lion ate him. Ate his fucking face. Which also, animals always go for your face and your crotch for some reason.
That's the weak points, man. They go, they're smart.
I feel like
when it comes to killing. Oh, that's a good point, too.
The smelliest actually. Points. They just go for your cock and your fucking mouth.
So the other thing about this scene is I'm sitting there watching it being like, it's dead. Like... Let the lion have it.
Yeah, the wildebeest
or
you're
doing nothing.
The
ox, it's dead. Like, you're doing nothing. And the funny thing is that then the servant actually says that afterwards to her. She's like checking in with him and stuff. I don't remember his name.
He's like pulling all the thorns out of her back.
Yeah, exactly. He's like cleaning her up and stuff. And she's like, you know, talking to him. And he's like, well, the oxen does no good for the lion.
Yeah.
Lion doesn't have it. We don't have it.
Yeah.
The shaman doesn't have it. Nothing has it. Like, it's just to waste now. And he's right.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could just, like, make meat out of it.
Yeah, you can.
But I feel like they wouldn't do that because...
Once the lion got into it.
So then she shows up with all the...
Well, there's the scene with the very important scene where she runs across Robert Redford again.
Yeah, Robert Redford shows up again.
She gets lost.
Yeah.
Runs across Robert Redford again.
He gives her a compass.
Gives her a compass, points her in the right direction. That's pretty important because I feel like that's the moment where he seals the deal.
Oh yeah, that's where she's like in love. She's like her heart is just like
dum,
out of that. Yeah, and then but then she shows up with all the fucking food and all that stuff.
Right,
and immediately her bror is like, "Shouldn't have come.
What the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing here? Shouldn't have come."
But then they fuck.
Yeah, then they have sex
because they're still at that point where she's really trying. She's really trying to make this happen.
It's supposed to do. It's fucking 1913. You're
exactly.
supposed to do that shit.
Exactly.
And then she's also trying to have kids. She talks about it earlier.
Right. She wants to have kids.
But instead of kids,
she gets another of God's miracles.
He gives her syphilis, which is it was kind of a fucking curveball. I did not see that coming.
I did not see that coming either, especially because I knew she, like, you know, because the whole structure of the movie is she's telling the story as an old lady.
Yeah.
So you know she lives.
Yeah, yeah. But she gets syphilis so bad. She gets such crazy syphilis that she has to go back to fucking Denmark.
I love her reaction to it, too. Like, she's so calm and collected about it.
Yeah.
She's just like, all right, so I guess I'll probably go mad and die.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, you know, what are my odds? 50-50.
Yeah, back then.
Like, just really straight up.
Because there's it's like she's taking arsenic or something, right? Like,
yeah, literally, crazy her fucking... ally, like, she even says, like, my ally in this fight was arsenic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that poison that we use to murder people.
Which is, arsenic used to have medical,
like, I mean, I guess it
things, right?
Does.
But we all know what arsenic is for. It's for killing hobos.
Well, our the way I always think of arsenic is that thing that royals use to kill, like, their cousins that they hate.
Yeah, it's like pouring it in your ear
while
you're asleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or for old ladies.
Wasn't that Hamlet? Wasn't it arsenic?
Yeah, yeah, right? Right? In his ear, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
It may not have been arsenic.
It might have just been poison.
Yeah, but I think they may just say poison.
It's always like the old lady with the nursing home that kills all the old people and cashes her checks.
Yeah, it's always arsenic. Yeah. Yeah. Well, isn't that what, like, terrorists were sending to us after 9/11 in the fucking mail?
No, that was anthrax.
You're right. That was anthrax.
That was anthrax. Not to be confused with the 1980s band Anthrax.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I wish I would get in the mail.
Look, there's a lot of...
Because, I mean, the music wasn't great, but they were pretty dope. I like them.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's all right.
They showed up in a Married with Children episode. It's cool.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. The main guy, he used to do a lot of stuff on MTV.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah. So that was Anthrax, though. There was no band called Arsenic, but there should have been.
I'm sure there's a band called Arsenic.
Arsenic, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so it's Arsenic is what she's taking, which is fucking weird to me that it's like, all right, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take all this fucking poison and hopefully it kills
the thing that's wrong with you, which I guess isn't entirely different from what we do now.
Well, that's like chemotherapy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're killing the cells that are damaging you.
So she's gone for like 6 months back in Denmark. It's this whole voiceover.
Longer, I think.
Yeah.
She's gone for like a year, I think.
I think she says she's 6 months in the room.
That's right.
Where she can't leave the room.
Yeah, exactly. She's like...
Back in 1930.
Locked up.
If you got syphilis...
You're locked up.
You would fucking spend 6 months locked in a room taking poison. That was the cure. That
was the cure. Was locked up in poison taking.
Holy shit. Now it's like a shot.
Yeah.
Now it's like a Z-pack.
I mean,
I don't know personally.
It's good to live in nowadays.
Yeah.
That's why every time people are like, back in the day, like, no. No, actually, no.
Don't go that far back. For the love of God, like mumps would kill you.
Yeah, people are like, "Oh man, the knights are like the old west," and it's like, no, though, because you would die. Would die. Everyone died. The average lifespan was like 38. Like, no,
you don't understand how much shit would. You're not drinking regular water.
No,
you're drinking this fucking water.
Disgusting water that's gonna kill you.
You're drinking fucking mud.
Yeah,
what you're drinking.
Yeah.
No, don't go back in time. Don't go. I mean, if you go back in time, do a day back in time.
Yeah. Oh no, I would definitely do a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just banging bushy chicks because they're, you know.
There's no shaving back then too. No, that's another thing to keep in the underarms, legs.
Yeah, I feel like it just got smelly.
Probably. Probably people didn't bathe that often.
I did think that when I was thinking like Rob Redford's crushing on some pussy in this, and I was like, that is some 1913 very smelly, like bathing every 3 days pussy.
But he was probably bathing once a month.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, because he's rugged.
Yeah, well, he's rugged and he's out in the wilderness.
That's some gross
probably
shit.
Probably smells like yak or whatever the fuck. Yak. Like, I don't know. Lion spit. You know what doesn't smell like lion spit and won't give you syphilis?
Our sponsors.
So
you should make a compilation of all your lead-ins.
All my terrible lead-ins.
To the sponsors, because they're pretty good.
They are. I'm pretty proud of them myself, honestly. So first sponsor, People's Choice Video, giving you the very best in classic cinema. You can rent, buy video games, movies, adult films, trades.
Anything your little heart desires.
Anything your heart desires. It's just some good shit. And they're expanding constantly. New stuff, classic films.
It's your favorite 1990s video store.
It really is. Yeah. 80s, 90s, 70s. Yeah. They got some classic shit.
Cool,
they got some Redford
cool
shit.
Old school feel. Oh, yeah. Going through and picking some movies.
That's right. That's right. Plus new releases before they hit Redbox. So if you're in the Southern Arizona, get yourself to People's Choice Video. It's on Valencia and 6th.
Yeah. And then also Beer Geek Bakery. Beer Geek Bakery providing Beer Kiss Goodies, which is all desserts made with local craft beer. She actually puts it in the actual desserts, and she has events all over town. Look her up on Instagram and on Facebook. Beer Week is coming up in February, and she's got like 5 events going on. So follow Beer Geek Bakery.
Absolutely follow it. It's delicious, delicious food. And if you mention this podcast to her at an event,
you get $1 off.
Get $1 off. That's a deal you can't beat.
Yeah. Rock and roll.
Rock and or roll. You know who doesn't rock and roll, though? Anyone in this movie, because it's all classical music. They don't know what rock and roll is. It's before the rock and roll was a thing.
She comes back from the syphilis.
She does.
And the first thing that they give her is a fucking owl.
Yeah.
Like, they hand her an owl, and she's like, pretty cool. Thanks for this owl, guys.
Yeah.
And I thought I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, if I left anywhere with syphilis... No, all right, guys.
Well,
next time that I get syphilis.
Next time, yeah. I mean, it's happened like 8 times already.
Yeah, so the next time that I do, because it's just a couple shots, when I come back, please hand me an owl.
I mean, even if I don't get syphilis, just hand me an owl.
Yeah.
I would like an owl very much.
I just feed it like chicken livers.
Or just...
Which is fucking hardcore.
Yeah.
Or mice.
I'll have it hunt. I'll just let it loose. Exactly. I'll do that thing where I have like the falconeer.
Oh yeah, it's a falcon. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I think you can do that with owls, right?
Maybe.
I don't know.
No, I feel like it'll never come back.
Probably.
It's just a loose owl.
You know, if you love an owl, let it go. If it returns if it to you, back, then...
At that point, it's just a loose owl in the city.
Have sex with an owl, I guess.
Yeah. All right. That took a turn. Took a weird turn for bird sex, but...
Look, if the owl loves you and you love the owl...
I'm not judging.
I'm just saying that two people in love... When an species. Owl and a human are in love, that's how you get Birdman.
Sit around. Oh, that's true.
Exactly.
Sit around, son. I gotta tell you.
A story about why your sister has wings.
The birds and the penises.
The birds and the penises.
I fuck a lot of birds. Now you know, son.
Now you know.
Off you go to the fucking through. Off yeah. you go into the wilderness.
So if you're out there fucking birds, it might be your half sister. I'm just warning you.
Yeah. So don't fuck all the birds. One of them might be your half-sister.
Yeah.
Because your dad is a pervert.
Yeah, exactly.
So then New Year's happens. Well, Christmas happens.
No, yeah. Way before that. So one thing I do want to mention, she gets syphilis from her husband because her husband is fucking around.
Yeah. He's also not sick.
He's also fine. Yeah. He's fine.
He just passed his... I feel like that means that he dipped it in. Into a syphilis vagina and
yes.
then pulled it out and then dipped it into her.
Probably.
So he fucked her with a dirty dick.
He had fucked someone else with syphilis right before she showed up.
Yeah, he dirty dick fucked her, which is the worst that you can do. Look, as far as cheating goes, I think.
He had, bathing was hard.
And then he just washed it off. Yeah, he didn't get good. Syphilis.
He had a good immune system. I don't know.
He's like, I'm good.
Yeah. I don't know. He fucked a lot of girls with syphilis. Eventually his body just adapted.
And I do like that she's like, you better tell whoever you've been with. And he's like, I guess.
And she's like, I hope she has it.
Yeah. But he's like, I don't know. I'm sorry. This has nothing to do with you, but I just fuck a lot of chicks.
So, and that's the moment where she sort of is like, because up until that point, she wants to make the relationship work.
Yeah. And that's where she's like, no, I'm out.
She's like, no, I'm out.
Also, at the same time, Barkley gets fucking Black River.
Later. That's much later. But we can talk about that. Barkley, who's Robert Redford's partner, get something called Black River Fever and dies.
Well, because you don't know that yet, but when they meet on Christmas,
that's right. They talk about how he's sick. Yeah, he's sick for a long time.
Yeah, he's sick and whatever.
And it turns out he's shacking up with a native girl. And
so I want to talk about that. But before that, they have New Year's, which is their moment. New Year's happens.
Yes.
Broer takes off with another chick.
Really brazenly, too. Because they go there together.
Yeah.
And then he's
they're married.
Exactly. They are married.
They're married. And then he grabs another chick and they leave. And so she's
alone
with Robert Redford. Everyone's
kissing at New Year's.
Yeah, there's a little fight thing that happens with a guy. And then everybody's kissing. So Robert Redford kisses her. Bam, sparks.
Right there. Oh, yeah. Well, and there were already sparks.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like from the moment she saw him, there was interest. And from the moment she told a story, he was like, this chick has something going on.
And then they get in the car together. And the chick's clothes are still in the back.
Yeah.
She mentions it, but she's like, whoever left her coat in the back or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, I'm just fucking Broer.
That's, yeah. And then, they're both not exactly big on commitment.
At this point.
The guys.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, neither of them are. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. So then this starts the whole section of the movie where slowly but surely Robert Redford kind of moves in.
This is an hour of the movie.
Yes. So the first thing is he takes her. So he keeps visiting her, and then
Barkley really pushes because he dies.
Yes. Yeah. Well, but even before that though, he's still even alive, they're going on safari or whatever, and Robert Redford's like, "You should come with me."
Yeah. The car breaks down. They work on the car together.
Yes.
They keep.
There's
going.
There's a lot of him taking her places because he wants her to see things.
He does one of the coolest things that I've ever seen. He shows up on a plane.
That's really dope.
It is so fucking cool. He shows up on a plane and she's like, when did you learn how to fly? And he's like, yesterday. And then they fucking take off.
They fucking take off.
Yeah. All right. So I don't want to, we're going to spoil this. Either way, we're going to get there.
Oh, yeah.
But he learned to fly the day before. He takes off. How does he fucking die? Plane crash. Because he just learned to fucking fly. He doesn't know how to fucking fly.
He got by for a long time, though.
He did get by for a long time.
3-4 years.
But I feel like it just takes one thunderstorm.
Yeah.
And then bam.
But he wasn't really a pilot.
Yeah, he was not a pilot.
Yeah.
Somebody just sold him a fucking plane. And then put him in there, and it's like, this is what you do.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's like a car. And they're like, yeah, it's like an air car.
It's a fucking car. Go for it.
And he did that shit for a while.
I feel like that would be me, too.
Yeah. And then how do you fucking die?
Yeah, plane crash, obviously.
Smashed square into the side of a fucking mountain.
Yeah.
So Barkley dies. I do want to talk about this because they do this weird thing where Barkley has that Black River fever, right?
Sure.
And he tells him, like, I have Black River fever. And he's like, why don't you tell me? And then he looks over at the Somali chick that he's been banging. And then he's like, oh. And I was like, what does that mean?
Well, and there's a really interesting line for Robert Redford's character. So Robert Redford's character, his whole thing is he is the most free of free spirits.
Yeah, he's just fucking.
Or you could say that he's terrified of commitments.
Yeah.
But he's all about like.
Are you talking about the divorce line?
Well, even before that, but he's just. There is a whole section later where Meryl Streep is cornering him about marriage, and he's like, look, a piece of paper is not going to make me love you anymore. Yeah. And you're just going to, like, I don't want that. I don't want to be tied. Like, I'm a free person. I can do what I want. You can do what you want.
I like banging dirty bitches.
And there's a great scene, too, where she's like, okay, you like, it's not fair because you get to do whatever you want. And I don't get that same option because I don't get to need you. I don't get to want you. I don't get to love you.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, like, she's like, the only option I get is to leave, which is yeah, fair. Like, they have a really good arguments throughout the movie. But the scene where he's with his partner, Barkley, it's really interesting because he's been with this guy for, you don't really know, but you assume
it's a long time, a while,
yeah. Right? And he asks him, like, why didn't you tell me? And his response is, I didn't think I knew you well enough.
Yeah.
Like, this is a person that he has been with for, like, 10 years, right? Maybe?
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I knew you well enough. And that really tells you a lot about Robert Redford's character that he never...
He doesn't open up.
He doesn't let anyone in.
Yeah. That's true. But also, I don't get... What's the deal with the Somali chick? Because...
That is interesting, too, because... Because
he's like, oh. And I'm like, oh, what?
That he's,
like,
he's banging a Somali chick.
Did he get the Black River fever from her? Like,
maybe.
Why? And then even when she's like, can I go see him? And he's like, no, because he's banging a Somali chick. And I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
It just seems like a weird racist thing, actually. Was, like, honestly, the person I was watching the movie with was like, wait, was that her husband? Is that why she's mad about the Somali chick? And I was like, no, that's the partner.
Yeah,
like,
I don't understand what the big deal with the Somali chick.
I think
chick.
It's just because she's black. Like, I think that's literally what it is.
But it's so fucking...
But you have to imagine. You have to imagine at that time...
I get that, but it has nothing to do with his Black River fever.
Exactly. Yeah. But also at that time, I imagine, obviously it's a taboo thing, but...
Yeah. In 1913.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, you're out there with all the fucking natives and shit.
Yeah, it's obviously going to happen.
I thought that Robert Redford was just banging native chicks the whole
time.
Yeah.
I guess he was crushing all the British girls, but...
At the same time,
if you're out on safari, like that's your whole life for 20, 30 years is just being in Africa.
You're just spreading the syphilis around that.
Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah. I thought that was weird. It was a weird thing that they had like this.
It's weird at the funeral where everyone sat and like the Somali chick kind of has to stand outside.
Yeah.
It's,
she can't be near them and shit.
Yeah.
And I get all that, but I feel like the emphasis was weird in it.
Yeah, because they share like a look, and you're not really sure is she like woman to woman, like I understand, or is she disapproving?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
All I know is Robert Redford's like, you can't go because he's banging a Somali chick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? I don't understand.
Right? That was her friend. Like, they were good friends.
Yeah, we're talking about him dying. Yeah. Exactly.
She can't go say goodbye to him?
Because of he's banging a Somali chick? What the fuck?
Yeah.
A Somali chick's just notorious for, like, cutting other bitches' heads off. Like, I don't understand what it
was. Don't say goodbye to my husband. I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, I will fucking slice your head off. Maybe that's what the whole thing was. We are actually, we've been talking for a while, but we are actually, like, an hour and 30 minutes into this movie.
We're moving pretty good. Because it's a long movie. Because all of the stuff, there's a long time of the romance. Exactly. So Robert Redford and her, there's a lot of scenes of them just growing closer, just doing relationship stuff.
Yeah.
But the whole time, Redford, he'll come spend like a week with her and it'd be the most romantic week of them spending every night telling stories and in each other's arms in front of the fireplace.
There's
but then he bounces out.
He takes off and Brewer shows up and he's like, hey, I need a divorce. And she's like, who is she? Is she rich?
Obviously, she's
rich.
Exactly. Yeah. She knows. Even before that, he shows up and there's a scene. It actually is really a good comment where he shows up asking for money.
Yeah.
And then he sees Robert Redford's character, who obviously he knows, like they know all the white people in the fucking city or whatever. And he's like, you could have asked. And he's like, I did. I asked her. She said, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, God fuck you. Right. Like, yeah, exactly. Goddamn right.
Yeah.
So
he takes off and then he comes back and he's like, I want a divorce.
Eventually he comes. Well, and the way he does it is such a fucking skeezball thing is he's like, I felt like you probably want a divorce. And she's like, how much money does she have?
Yeah.
Like she knows immediately. Like this is for you. This is not for me. This is for fucking you.
And then she's like, I have to accuse you of something to get a divorce, or are you going to accuse me? And he's like, do whatever you fucking need.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not that big of an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he is. Oh, he is.
I mean, he's an asshole, but he's not going to try and push it on her. He's willing to at least take the blame.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the divorce, obviously he should, because he's the one at fault.
Yeah, and immediately her reaction is to tell Robert Redford, you know, me and Brewer got a divorce. And he's getting married again. And it made me start thinking about that.
Marriage, yeah. Which
Robert Redford's like, about divorce?
Yeah.
Like, he's totally fucking blowing it off.
He is the master of just fucking every line. He's like, let me just veer that off into an area that I'm more comfortable with.
Right, so, what do you think? I mean, you think Robert Redford's a fucking badass in this movie?
I mean, he is a badass, sure.
Yeah.
Is he, because you said he was a piece of shit.
Yeah, they're all pieces of shit.
They are all pieces. I mean, the movie is all about how she's cool and the dudes are all kind of assholes.
And
I will give this to Robert Redford. I mean,
he's never lying.
He's always very upfront with what he expects and what he wants. And I feel
when she confronts him about, like, you're taking the other chicks out to safari and shit, and he's like, yeah, that's what I do.
Well, when he takes the other, so there's a younger girl there that she meets at the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah, it's another writer based on a real writer that
based on a real person that was there. Actually, exactly. Fucking banging. Yeah. I guess in real life he was banging. In the movie, he approaches her like, hey, she asked if she could come along, and I said, sure. And Meryl Streep's obviously not okay with that.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, do you think I'm going to bang her? And she's like, no. And he's like, well, then what's the problem?
Yeah.
And it's one of those very realistic couples fights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like, look, I'm like, she's just a person. I'm a person.
He's like, guess what? My job is to just be a badass.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm not.
It's what I do, bitch.
Like, if I'm not fucking her and you know I'm not fucking her, what's the problem?
I was fighting tigers and fucking bitches when you met me.
Exactly.
Or lions and fighting bitches when
this
you met me.
This is what I do.
So what do you think was going to happen?
Yeah. But yeah, he's just like, look, I'm not fucking her. You know I'm not fucking her. What's the problem? And she's like, well, the problem is she's with you and I'm not. And it's a very realistic argument.
Yeah, it is. But it's also the turning point for her to be like, this is not a relationship that I want
to
be
exactly. in. Exactly. So she basically pushes him to the point where it's like, look, either we're together and we're a real thing and we're going to get married and have an actual thing, or you're just doing your own thing. And he's like, I'm doing my own thing.
I'm out. And then the fucking, her coffee harvest burns the fuck down.
So throughout the movie, a lot of bad shit happens to her, obviously. Yeah. I should mention, so after the syphilis, this is actually a really important thing. After the syphilis, she can't have kids.
Yeah.
So you
is
mentioned,
barren now.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier she really wanted to have kids.
Yeah.
Can't have kids now. She opens up a school for the local kids.
Yeah. But she has to get like a tribal approval from
the fucking
chief.
It's a whole big thing. Yeah. And Robert Redford figures it out that it's like, oh, you can't have kids now. So you're basically adopting all of the kids of this tribe. And they're all like, every time she goes among the tribe's people, like, she's obviously very well loved.
Yeah.
They all run up to her. She knows all of them. She interacts with them.
They give her owls.
Yeah, they give her stuff. She lets them, like, pickpocket her.
Oh, yeah, they always pickpocket her, yeah.
So, yeah, she opens up the school and everything. Yeah, at the end, though, they end up separating. And then she's running really on the edge. She went to the bank, took out all this money because she's like, I got to get to the next harvest. Yeah. Then we'll be okay.
Best harvest ever. And then it fucking burns.
Burns to the ground.
And she has a great line where she's like, well, God gave me the first harvest and then the best harvest ever. And then he was like, oh, that's right. I remember now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't, you know?
Yeah.
And then so she loses all her shit. So she loses all her money and then she has to sell everything. She has a big estate sale.
Yeah,
she has
she's
to sell
selling,
that cuckoo clock that all the fucking natives really
love. Engaged with, yeah. Which is really fun and funny.
Yeah, it was a funny thing. Everybody loved the cuckoo clock. She has to sell all of it. And then,
again, it's one of those very quaint things where it reminds you, like, how there was definitely a point in the world where just simple mechanical things was the most amazing thing you'd ever seen in your life.
What a fucking weird thing it was to just be like a tribesperson and then have just royalty or like super somebody super rich bring their all their super rich fucking bullshit in and just build a house.
Yeah.
And you're like, I never seen a house. Like, we're just mud shacks.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, they have all this fucking, like, furniture and, like, fucking silks and shit like that. What a weird thing that would fucking be.
Yeah.
To just bring in your rich person bullshit in. And the cuckoo clock is a perfect example of
that. Well, I think we still have that. I mean, it's on a different scale, but we still have that, like, amazement with richness where it's like, you see like a private jet or a yacht or like some like stretch vehicle.
Or like with a $20,000 taco. Or
exactly. Like, and you're just like, holy fuck. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're like, there is literal diamonds that you can eat in this taco. Yeah,
you swallow that shit down.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You pick beans out of a fucking cat's poop and sell that's your $400 cups of coffee.
That's ridiculous.
That is just rich people fucking trying to be different than everybody else.
That really is.
Yeah. Fuck you, rich people.
Yeah.
I would say.
I would go on record. Totally say that.
I'm going to go on record saying, fuck you,
snails
rich
are disgusting. I don't care how much you cost.
Escargot.
Yeah. Duck liver, fuck you.
That's all like 1980s rich shit. It was all like duck liver pate and fucking caviar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you knew you were rich.
Yeah, fuck that.
Because you were eating caviar. But you get, so she has to sell all her shit. And then Broer shows up and he's like, oh, by the way, Robert Redford is dead.
Yeah. So and they.
Curveball.
Yeah. They've basically split, but at the same time, they haven't really split. Like, he keeps visiting her and kind of keeping it. And at that point where she knows she's going to leave, he visits her.
It's just an empty room with books.
It is. And they're talking and he's like, you know, I really want to go with you to the port and I want to be with you. And like, clearly he still really cares about her.
And this is the point where, when I saw it, where I was like, that scene. That's why she gets nominated for Best Actress.
And she's actually, we make fun of Meryl Streep a lot.
I fucking hate Meryl Streep.
I really do not like Meryl Streep.
I overrated as fuck. There's no way you need 22 Oscar nominations when you've only put out 3 good performances.
He's not wrong, people.
No, yeah, she's fucking awful.
That being said, she's actually very good in this movie. She's very good in this movie.
And that's a scene where he's like, Dennis died in a plane crash. And there was he smashed into the fucking side of the mountain. There was a fire and he died. And that scene.
That's a really good scene.
Her reaction was really fucking good, really solid. And I was like, all right, that's why you get nominated for Best Fucking Actress. That's why.
She's very good in this movie. Yeah. And that scene, her accent is pretty consistent, first of all.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, she really runs a range of emotion. And I really like her it's very old school nobility reaction where she's clearly, like, she does that thing.
She looks back at the book.
This is a very, like, high level actor thing where you can simultaneously tell the character's losing it, but they're also trying to keep it together.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're pretending to keep it together while you're losing it.
Which is a thing that I feel like a lesser actor or actress. You either keep it together so much that you feel like there's no...
You're icy.
Exactly. Yeah. You feel like there's no turmoil, there's no dramatic, or you lose it so much that it feels over the top. Exactly. Yeah. It feels melodramatic. Here she finds that exact balance of like, she's clearly trying to keep that stiff upper lip and keep it together. And she tells him that
he's brave.
Exactly. She's like, they sent you, and he's like, I
wanted to come. And he's like, you're very brave.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's a good... Good scene.
It's
That's
a really good scene. Good scene.
Like, and then you get like the funeral and she does that whole poem and stuff like that, which is really good.
And she's breaking and eventually she just walks off because she just can't take it anymore.
And the chief of the Bushmen is there for a minute and then he leaves and stuff like that. And then she leaves and there's voiceover of her being like, I had a farm one time.
And I never went back, that threw me, honestly.
She never went back?
I felt like at that point she had become so much a part of, like, Africa had become so much a part of her.
Yeah, because she... Oh, no, we didn't talk about this. She fights really hard to get all them...
The people land. So she loses her farm, but... So part of the thing is they have like 1,000 acres. She only cultivates half of it.
Yeah.
Because half of it...
Belongs to the tribe. Yeah.
So when she loses the whole thing... She loses
all of it to the bank.
To the bank, right. She fights super hard to find relocation land for the tribe.
Yeah.
To the point that she literally gets on her knees in front of the new governor.
Yeah, the new governor. And he's like, please. And then Rufford is there.
Exactly. And there's a really nice scene where the governor's wife.
It's like, yeah, my word. Yeah.
Exactly. Because she's being like, do I have your word? And the governor's kind of being like, I don't know what the fuck to do.
We'll see what we can do.
Exactly. Yeah. He's kind of like him. And he's doing the political thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Where he's like, oh, you know, it's a lot of fucking constituent, you know, fucking bullshit. And his wife stands up and is like, no, you have my word. This is happening.
She has a fucking mushroom cap hat.
Yes.
That should look like a fucking mushroom. She has a lot of
crazy hats. She has very crazy hair and very crazy hats throughout the film.
So then that's how it ends. She never went back to Africa. That was it.
Yeah, that's
it. So this is based on a book of her. This movie is based on a very rich Danish woman.
Yep.
Who went to Africa, got married, did some shit, lost everything, and then came back to her like very rich Danish life.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking one of the greatest romances ever.
Yeah.
And it's not and you know what? The reason why I like it again is because it's not really a romance. It's really about her overcoming all the
all
shit.
These that, all these obstacles. Syphilis, the fire, the romances, the bad.
Again, the one of the greatest things is the biggest payoff actually in this fucking movie is that they ask her to come back to that bar.
Right. So the very weirdly, I mean, I feel like the climax is really the funeral, but
the climax is a funeral. The Robert Redford funeral is a climax.
Yeah, and it's a really good scene.
But then you have like 40 minutes after. She breaks
really well. Yeah. It's again, it's one of those performances, like you said, that reminds you that she can be a very good actress.
Meryl Streep used to have to work for a fucking Oscar nomination.
Exactly. She doesn't just show up and say lines.
She wasn't just in Devil Wears Prada and gets fucking nominated.
Exactly.
No fucking reason.
No reason. Yeah. So it's a very good performance. She leaves. And there's also like Robert Redford's old like African like
servant guy.
Partner servant guy like shows up and then disappears. And it's obviously like it's one of those like respect things like between you know, but anyways, but then she leaves and she's breaking down and just kind of like I mean she's in grief, right? But
they ask her, they're like
the like kind of the post climax like final, I would say, I guess the thing that makes her the coup de grace, like
they kind of like final rectifies all of it.
Is she's going to leave. Like, everyone knows she's leaving. She's failed. Like, she's poor, whatever. Yeah.
Sold all. So, cool clock.
But she's done so many impressive things between the drive for the supplies, the school, the communication with the tribesmen, the respect that she's, like, earned among these people. They invite her into the men's only bar.
Only fucking woman ever invited to that this men's fucking only bar.
It's 2018, people. Still, to this day,
the only woman ever fucking invited to the men's only bar. That's fucking crazy.
It is insane.
Again, open a strip club. Don't fucking do the men's only bar, you idiots.
I mean, we're gonna do that, so don't. That's our plan.
Yeah, but then and that's it. Then
that's right. She leaves and never comes back.
All right. So how would you fix or make this movie better?
I mean, the easy and realistic answer is that you cut like 25 minutes out of this movie.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like you make it again.
Or about Robert Redford.
Crocodile Dundee.
Yes. I mean, the other answer is that, yes, you make it about Robert Redford and it's Ghost in the Darkness and that movie's better than this. The movie's super cool.
No.
Because instead of a romance between Meryl Streep and Robert Redford, you get the romance between Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas. It might be a romance.
And
I mean,
killing lions.
I mean, they team up to kill lions.
Yeah, the romance of killing lions. No, I do. You're right, though. I think if you take all the Robert Redford, Meryl Streep, I feel like that's there to like appease.
Sure.
If you take all the romantic shit out and you really make it about her trying to make it in this crazy country. Without all the romantic
play
shit.
It up. You could definitely play it up with just all of the hardship she goes through.
Oh, yeah.
And
for
more
sure.
of the relationship with her and the like tribesmen.
Yeah. Also, if Eddie Murphy plays one of the servant guys.
Well, obviously, that's hilarious.
Then we're having a good time.
Because he's just doing funny voices and like doing hip hop and like old school R&B.
A lot of energy.
Singing Roxanne. Yeah. Oh, it'd be great.
1985 Eddie Murphy in this. Saves the movie.
Yeah, no, absolutely he does. The other option, of course, this being 1985, is that you just make First Blood Part 2, Rambo First Blood Part 2, which should have clearly made the best picture of the movie of that year. did not even get nominated.
Doesn't even get nominated for Best Picture.
It's the best action movie ever made. I don't understand how it's not the best picture of that year.
He's no longer just a guy like in the woods.
He's not just a sad guy in the woods. He goes back to Vietnam.
He's not a sad guy in the woods.
He goes back to Vietnam and saves America's pride.
Yeah.
He redeems America for Vietnam.
Everything that everybody was feeling about Vietnam, he fixes it.
He redeems that all that shit with an M60 in one hand. At the same, killing Viet Cong, first of all, very good.
Yeah.
Then also going back and taking out the bureaucrats. Because it's really their fault. So
he kills everybody that sucks during that war.
And what does he want? He just wants what they want. If it one time, our country loves us as much as we.
Shame on you out of Africa for not being
Rambo First Blood Part 2. Yeah. Best movie of all time.
Where he fixed Vietnam. He fixes Vietnam in that.
He has arrows that explode. And also the coolest action scene ever where a bunch of Viet Cong dudes go by like a fucking mud wall. And then he pops out of that mud wall. And then he pops
out of that fucking mud wall. Oh, it's fucking so incredible. Good.
It's the best. His
eyes just open.
Yeah.
He's actually in Commando too, right? Commando does it.
I think. And definitely Predator does it when he covers himself up to hide from the infrared.
Yeah, the infrared. Yeah. Oh, but god damn it, that first fucking
real good.
Slide coming out of that shit.
Really good.
Yeah. So we fix it by making it First Blood Part 2.
Exactly.
We make this movie better with First Blood Part 2.
Honestly, just cut out like 20 minutes. It's a tighter, better film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
It is. I should mention, it won Best Cinematography. This is a fucking beautiful movie.
It is. It's a very beautiful movie.
It is a really well shot
movie. Very well shot movie. The night scenes are really fucking great. All the sweeping shots are really great. It's a beautiful movie.
I mean, it's sort of an easy movie to be beautiful because you have so many like sweeping aerial shots of Africa. And it's also, it's an Africa that you don't necessarily see a lot because it's not the Serengeti. It's not Sahara.
Yeah.
It's these like green, it's not like Egypt, lush. Yeah, exactly. It's not jungle, but it's very lush and it's very pretty. And
the 80s was kind of like the end of the like big, like sweeping romances.
Yes, yes.
And then this is definitely right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
This definitely is. And I do feel like, again, you put some Rambo in there, you put some Eddie Murphy in there.
It's a better movie.
We got ourselves a better movie.
For sure. In result, though, it's a good movie. Not perfect, not like maybe a little overrated. Probably, I mean, it should have won the Best Picture. Obviously, Rambo: First Blood Part 2.
Of course,
Or maybe Back to the Future. Neither one got nominated.
Back to the Future.
Neither one got nominated. Yeah. Both better than this movie, but very good movie.
Yeah,
I do recommend.
Yeah, no, yeah. I wouldn't put it in the 1,000 movies that you got to see before you die, but that book came out in 1995. So that shit.
Clearly, we've had a lot.
20 years ago. Yeah. That shit. 23 years ago. That shit does not apply anymore.
Yeah.
But.
Clearly, no, since then.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
It was better than I thought it was going to be,
We were really dreading it. When we saw, I was like, out of Africa.
When we saw that it was 3 hours long.
When we're like 2 hours and 40 minutes, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but that was the dreading part, I think, more than anything else.
But it was a beautiful movie, and it was a very empowering movie.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. You got any recommendations?
No, we don't have time.
All right, let's not do any recommendations then.
Yep, let's just go to the end, which is us thanking you for listening to the podcast.
And talking about what the next movie is, which I'm sure you have...
sure don't.
You have ready for...
Nope.
Ready to fire.
Next movie, Trading Places. Speaking of Eddie Murphy.
God damn it, Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd.
Speaking of boobs.
Speaking of Jimmy Lee Curtis's boobs.
Boobs, yeah.
Really fucking great. Yeah, I'm really excited for this one. Hopefully we get Emma back on the podcast for this one.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, because it's a great movie. Also, one of the only movies that you get some like New Year's stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of New Year's movies.
No.
This one has a New Year's scene.
Also has some rich people doing shenanigans.
For $1 bill.
$1 bill. So join us next week. Until then, please rate, subscribe, tell your friends, force them to listen. Hold them down. Remember that scene in First Blood Part 2, Rambo, where he's tied and they're like electrocuting him?
Oh, yeah.
And then eventually he breaks free and he grabs the microphone. It's very cool. He's just like, oh, Murdoch, I'm coming for you. It's fucking very cool. A. But before they're like torturing him, like do that to your friends until they listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
And send us emails at blockpersonalities@gmail.com. Facebook. Follow us on Facebook. Comment.
Yeah.
We respond to comments.
Do all that stuff.
Do we respond to comments? We definitely respond to comments.
We respond to Facebook comments at least.
But until then, I am EG Sites.
I am Francisco Landin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.